Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Exodus chapter 8, verses 16 through 24. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Exodus, the 8th chapter. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people, and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by the swarms of flies." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The magicians of Pharaoh were able to do something. They were able to turn their staves into snakes at the beginning, and for a few more plagues, they had secret arts. Perhaps they were arcane tricks and sleights of hand meant to fool the common people, the easily led minds. Or perhaps they were the kind of powers that a person will find whenever they call, wittingly or unwittingly, upon demons. For as St. Paul clarifies, whatever pagans sacrifice to their idols, they offer to demons, not to God. And I don't want you to be participants with demons. Both skeptical rationalism and unwary spiritualism have a common trait. It's hubris. Whatever the forces or the knowledge, surely we must be the masters of them. Could it even be possible that the system is more complex than I realize, or that a demon would be playing me? Well, the Lord opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. He chooses as his instruments against mighty Pharaoh neither the subject matter experts nor the crowd pleasers, but Moses and Aaron. In their weakness, in their lack of mastery, always appearing to be just a hair's breadth away from total failure, the Lord, in his mighty power, is evident, and his glory triumphed. But, of course, in their pride, when in the course of time Moses and Aaron began to arrogate magician status to themselves, so you remember how the Lord asked them to turn in their staves. When the secret arts of Egypt fail, arrogance is challenged, and what Pharaoh does here doesn't surprise me at all. His heart is hardened. He doubles down, in the way we would say it. I can easily imagine him rapping the numbskulls on the head and giving some angry speech like a cartoon villain. But the response of the magicians does surprise me. They admit this is the finger of God. That is some humility, at least. And of course, they're correct. And we do not go on to hear then whether they are cast out of Pharaoh's court, whether they give up magic, whether they ask if they can buy this power from Aaron and Moses, or if they even believe and move on into the land of Goshen. But any and all of these seem possible now that at least the first brick of pride has been dislodged from them. The power of the Holy Trinity is to be recognized and is to be worshipped, and Him alone. He is the Lord of the gnats, He's the Lord of the flies, He's the Prince of the earth, He is the Master. Now, true, there are other gods who claim these titles, as we'll hear tomorrow. For a time, they get to keep them. But they always keep those titles at their own risk and to their own downfall. So also is it with any of us who would imagine that we are gods or masters. It's a deadly error to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, to cloak yourself in pride. It is, in a word, satanic. And both St. Paul in Corinth and the true Lord there in Egypt would not have us commune with such demons, dear saints. Ours is an era filled, rife with arrogance. So is it any wonder that the occult should also be at the same time on the rise? Well, against these, what power do we have? The finger of God, the word of God, particularly the forgiveness of sins for the sake of Christ's blood. That must be at work to turn back the powers of darkness. This indeed is the unique power of God in the midst of the earth, now in these last days, spoken to us by His Son. The Lord put a division between Egypt and Israel in Goshen, it says. The Hebrew word also means ransom or redemption. The way of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, which is always a way of humility, increasingly distinguishes us from the general ways of life that are around us, dear saints. We all know well how the ransom of Christ Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that is proclaimed because of it triumphs over the powers of darkness. But is it acknowledged? And is it worshipped as such? It may be that Egypt will not listen to us. But God forbid that Moses and Aaron should fail to rise early and to speak. Humility and self-examination and delight in Christ's redemption must not become an arcane art or a secret knowledge among us, dear friends. Now, in today's scripture with these two plagues of gnats and flies, the pressure really begins to ramp up in Egypt. It's not going to be a game anymore. The magicians hang up their staves and no longer blaspheme the finger of God. But these are also the last two plagues that can be counted as annoyances. The ruin of the Lord is about to come on Egypt. Because no rock is able to stand against His finger unetched or unshattered. God spare us such ruin, and rather grant us that we would be etched by His finger, by the Holy Spirit and His Word, that we would have humility, that we would fear the devil's power and not trifle with any of his ways, that we would repent of our prides. And that Christ's redemptive word would take deep root in us. God grant it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.